You're listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. Here's your host, Keith Blakemore Noble.
Hello, welcome back. Great to have you here for another fantastic episode. I've got a really interesting guest on my episode today. This is a guy I met through networking. Networking is such a wonderful thing to do. You meet so many interesting people, including, in my case, meeting Angus Baskerville. Now, Angus is a professional, award-winning magician, a mentalist, and a member of the Magic Circle. He is an accomplished stage performer, and he's performed on stage at a variety of high-profile events, including Autism's Got Talent, Ventor Fringe Festival, and the Edinburgh Fringe. He's also entertained celebrity guests such as Jasper Carrot, Frank Bruno MBE, Patsy Kensit, Sir Mo Farah OBE, and Richard E. Grant, to name but a few. Not only that, Angus is also a close-up magician, and he travels all over the UK, where he offers spellbinding entertainment at weddings, corporate events, private parties, functions, promotion, balls, and birthday celebrations for all ages. Now, the really interesting thing about Angus is he is also an advocate for autism awareness, and he delivers talks at conferences about growing up with autism and how magic has helped him. That's my guest today. You can see why I was delighted when he agreed to appear on the show. That's my guest today. Hey, Angus, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thanks. How are you? Thanks for having me.
No, my absolute pleasure. I'm doing well, thanks. Now, Angus, we've heard your profile, we've heard your bio, but who is Angus? Who is the man behind the bio?
Well, other than what you said in the bio, I'm a member of the Magic Circle, and I also work for Autism Awareness, where I obviously give talks at conferences to parents of autistic children, usually to help inspire, offer support, etc. A lot of talks I give is about how magic helped me, you know, how I was quite severely autistic, and then from finding magic and various other therapies that helped me, you know, it's helped improve me a lot. And that's about it really. I'm Warwickshire based, I live with my family and that sort of thing. You know, I'm very passionate about raising awareness for autism, helping offer support, etc. And my goal is obviously to build a really successful career in magic.
Brilliant, brilliant. And you are off to a great start on that front. So that's really cool. So I guess, let's start off talking about what was life like growing up in the earlier years with autism? How did it affect life?
Yeah, well, I mean, in general, it was quite hard because I was very sensitive to all sorts of different noises. I had no friends. I literally could not socialize with anyone. I didn't speak very much. I was suffering with an awful lot of bullying at school, so bullying was a big problem of mine for some time. And it took several different schools before we found the right one. I grew up in South Africa, and South Africa is very behind in terms of its knowledge of autism, etc. And as a result, I wasn't able to get diagnosed till age 15. And obviously, this led to me behaving very differently to the other children. And the teachers were then wondering what I was doing and didn't understand me. And as a result, I was kicked out of three schools and was bullied a lot, like I said. Mm-hmm. And I attended a total of 15 different schools before we finally found the right one. And so obviously it was very difficult. Things at home were, you know, hard as well. I was, like I said, I didn't socialise and was very sensitive, couldn't concentrate and focus. But from different therapies that I was able to get access to in South Africa that worked on neurology, helped me improve a lot. I mean, it helps improve my sensitivity and, you know, helped me get better at socialising, become obviously less sensitive. And Before I basically had a lot of those, I was what you'd call quite low functioning, severely autistic person. But from the different therapies, that helped improve me. But it wasn't until we moved back to England and got a proper diagnosis, and I found magic till I was able to, you know, make proper friends for the first time. You know, the bullying stopped. I was able to socialise a lot better, and I became very less sensitive to, you know, noise, etc. Like, for example, since getting into magic, I was able to walk into a noisy pub, entertain, and come out with a pocket full of tips later, I was able to concentrate and focus really hard on a new trick. And my concentration and focus, because of my ADHD, which I've also got a diagnosis of, was very impaired. But I found that when I was working with something that I was very interested in, I was working with my passion, I was actually able to focus and concentrate on it for long periods of time. And then over that, my concentration and focus skills improved. And that helped me with my schoolwork. And obviously, people were interested in magic. I was able to show people tricks, and that obviously improved my peer group. I was able, and like I said, through that, I was able to socialize a lot better. And overall, the big thing was that my self-esteem improved a lot, because mental health was a big problem of mine for a long time as well, when I was obviously autistic, but people didn't know what it was. So my self-esteem improved a lot through that as well. And obviously here in the end, created a really good business opportunity for me. So that's basically one of my main goals with the autism awareness work. Encourage people to really find their passion, find something that they're interested in, and then embrace it. Because, you know, opportunities are endless. Your self-esteem improves, all your general day-to-day life skills improve, most likely. And, you know, above all, you could create a really good business opportunity for yourself. So that's basically my backstory with that.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's interesting that, and we'll explore in a moment how you got into magic, but it's interesting what you were saying there. I mean, that you use magic to help build your self-esteem, build your confidence, overcome the bullying, because people love magic, so they didn't bully you; they wanted to see the magic. I've heard that time and time again. Comedians, magicians, lots of performers. That's how they kind of get into that, because it's a way to stop people bullying them. It's sad that it takes that for people to get into it, but it's also really inspiring that when you find something, as you say, that you're really passionate about, you can then just really focus really, really hard on it. So how did you discover that magic was the thing for you, that magic was the passion?
Yeah, well, I mean, it all started when I learned this basic card trick once from these people who showed me it. And I went around showing it to everyone, and people began to be really wowed by it. And that kind of got me interested. And I was also watching Dynamo on TV is what sparked my interest.
Oh, yeah.
But from basically showing people tricks and them being able to be wowed by it, and then I realized I had something for me. Mm-hmm. And obviously, once I started learning stuff, you know, online, etc., I began to, you know, really become more and more interested. And then we were coming up to Christmas, and I realized that I had a strong interest in that. And I realized that, you know, I was able to focus more on it. I realized my self-esteem improved a lot when I was showing people tricks, and it was something I really enjoyed. So I asked if I could go on a course to, you know, learn magic. And my parents put me this beginner's magic course at Davenport's Magic in London for Christmas.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
2014 this was, and basically from that, once I'd been on that 3-week course, you know, things really improved, and I was perfecting all my tricks at school a lot of time, because I was at weekly boarding school for children with obviously various learning difficulties like autism, dyslexia, dyspraxia. And so I was at that school for 2 years for sixth form, and I weekly boarded there, and I was showing all the other boarders the tricks, and they were all absolutely loving it. And things obviously really improved from that. And I ended up winning the school talent competition that year when I did a magic show. So that's basically what really sparked my interest. And then since I left that school, that's when I started developing it into a business, since I got my first wedding gig from performing at the local pub, which I always used to perform at near to where I lived on the weekends and working for tips. And that's kind of where it all started.
All right. So, I mean, you were performing at the pub. Was that like a formal arrangement with the pub, or do you just kind of wander up and show people tricks and build?
Well, how it basically works is I was down there with my dad and our old neighbour one evening, and I was just showing them magic tricks. Mm-hmm. And one of the people on the table sat next to us who worked at the pub seemed interested, and basically they asked me one night to just come in and work for tips, which I did. And then basically since I started doing that, then obviously they said, you know, you can come in whenever you like. And so it wasn't such a formal arrangement with the pub. Yeah. Basically they allowed me to come in whenever I wanted work for tips, basically. So they didn't pay me, they allowed me to work for tips. So I came in every Friday, every Saturday evening if I wasn't doing something else, and yeah, I did a couple of hours and used to do really well with that. And obviously I got my first wedding gig through that and got loads of bookings out of that. And that's how it started to develop into a business.
Got it. I mean, I imagine that would be a really good way to refine and hone your skills, not just the magic skills, but actually interacting with people and kind of managing the audience and the crowd. I mean, how do you cope with, I mean, pubs, sometimes you get people who are a bit rowdier and a bit more drunk and a bit more sort of, they kind of try and show you up. How do you handle those sorts of people?
Well, it's something you naturally get used to. I mean, yes, I'm not going to obviously sit here and say that, you know, I'm completely oblivious to all. Because I mean, when you're in a pub full of noise and obviously people are shouting, swearing, throwing things about because they're very drunk and people obviously are being quite rude. I mean, it will get to you. And I mean, I do have moments where, you know, I sometimes might have to walk out the pub and just step outside for a minute. But in general, you know, when I'm inside the pub and obviously people are really rowdy because they're impressed and they're drunk and obviously they're making a lot of noise, and as long as it's not directed rude at me, you know, I'm able to actually just show off from it because I'm focusing on the magic so much, on doing the trick, that I'm able to obviously block it out. Whereas before I got into magic, I would have walked into a pub with all that noise and I would have literally run to the end of the world to get away from it because I was so sensitive to it.
Yeah.
But it shows that when you're working with your passion, you can actually close yourself off from all the things you might be sensitive to, from what I've come to realize. But yes, when I'm performing in a pub, and obviously people I might come across people who seem quite rude because they might be a bit miserable, and obviously they might be drunk, and I kind of just avoid them, step away from them. I know they're not going to want to see a trick because they're too busy doing something else.
Yeah,
that's basically how you do it. People that you come across who obviously look like they're very drunk, they look like they're a bit dodgy. No offense to anyone. Your best bet is to just avoid them.
Yeah, yeah. Got it. Okay. And I guess, as you say, it's a skill which you rapidly develop, because if you were doing that two nights a week, then you're really going to ramp that skill up really quickly.
Yeah. Well, no, it did. I mean, it allowed me to perfect tricks and that sort of thing, practice them for when I had proper gigs.
Nice. Like it. I love it. So magic was your way, or you found magic was your way to really enable you to focus and to build up your social skills and your self-confidence and your self-esteem and all these sorts of things. And from that, you've now become very much an autism advocate, helping people to become aware of autism. Because as you say, when you were growing up, you didn't get the diagnosis until you were 15, I think you said, wasn't it?
Yeah, 15.
Yeah. So I imagine it would have made a big difference had there been more awareness of it when you're at a younger age. So what are some sort of, I mean, we'll explore this both from the perspective of somebody who has autism and also from somebody who doesn't, but might interact with people who have autism. So taking, I guess, the second one first, for people who don't have autism but find themselves interacting with people who do have autism, what are some ways that we can improve that interaction and make the person with autism feel a bit more accepted and give them the space to be there? What are some things that we should look out for, some things that we can maybe do to help?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, we're all, at the end of the day, we're all unique like every other person. And, you know, various people with autism are different to others. But in general, if you're socializing and obviously dealing with an autistic person, your best bet is to try and forget the fact that they're autistic and talk to them as if they were, as if they weren't autistic, because obviously that makes them feel more accepted. But obviously, the one thing you have to bear in mind is that, you know, talking a bit more slowly, talking a lot more detail, because obviously I know we can take things literally, we can misinterpret things, not process things as quick. So talking to them as slowly as possible and making sure they fully understand, being as detailed as possible. More importantly, just include them as best you would, so, you know, they don't feel like they're being excluded from someone else. But, you know, they do understand what you're saying, because, you know, you're being a little bit more vigilant than talking to someone who is neurotypical, meaning non-autistic.
Yeah,
that's basically one way to do it. But I mean, at the end of the day, the best thing you can do for someone on the spectrum is understand them. You know, because at the end of the day, I mean, I say this in my talks and everything. I'm Angus Baskerville. I'm not Angus the Aspie. You know, it just means we think differently.
Yeah.
You know, we're all unique like every other human being. It just means that, you know, we might not process things as quick, or we might think differently to other people. But it doesn't make us stupid or anything like that at all.
No, quite. I got it. Yeah, nice. And looking at it from the other perspective, from somebody who has autism, what and maybe struggling like you were at school, whether they've had a formal diagnosis or maybe even they haven't had the diagnosis, what are some things that they can do to start getting help and start being able to make better sense of life and society?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, your first prize, in my opinion, is to get the diagnosis ASAP, because I definitely feel that if I'd been diagnosed very early on, because I was showing signs of autism since I was 3 years old, and I wasn't able to get diagnosed till 15. But if I'd been diagnosed a lot earlier, I do think things would have improved. Things would have been a hell of a lot better and easier for all of us than they were. But of course, it is what it is, and if you get your diagnosis as early as possible, that's obviously the first prize. And then your best bet then, in terms of like obviously making friends, improving your self-esteem, find what you're interested in and join things related to it. Like if running's your special interest, if football's your special interest, join a football club or join a running club. Find other people with similar interests to you, or even better, find people that are also on the spectrum. It's all shared stuff with people with similar interests is obviously a good way to make friends and be able to build your conversation social skills, because you've got something very in common that you can talk about. That's one way to do it. And obviously accessing therapies. I mean, another technique I say a lot, but obviously this is only from my opinion. My parents have chosen to never go down the medication route for things like for my ADHD and autism. They were told to put me on things like Ritalin, et cetera. But from people we knew who had taken Ritalin in South Africa, it does have many side effects, and sometimes, if not taken correctly, can have the opposite effect. Because I've come across people with autism and other learning difficulties who have tried medication, and it's actually made them worse, not better. And other people who've taken it, it might have made a little bit of a difference, but it's had very severe side effects. It's almost like basically putting a plaster over it. The root problem is still there. Unless you work on the root problem, it can't be solved, or definitely can't be solved as well. But that's only talking from my opinion. I mean, I'm sure there are loads of people out there who have where medication has made a massive difference on the positive front. But from working on the root cause, which is what my parents chose to do instead of medication, is definitely what's improved me. And that's things like therapies, like we use brushing, auditory integration, rhythmic massage, my door. There's all sorts of different therapies designed to help people on the spectrum, and even people with disabilities like cerebral palsy or something like that, all because it works on the root of the problem, works on the neurology, which is the bare root of it, rather than just covering it up with a plaster. So that's basically what I'd do. Firstly, get your diagnosis ASAP, find people with similar interests to make friends with, join various clubs, et cetera, which obviously work with something that you're very especially interested in. Find your passion as soon as possible as well, and really embrace it. That's obviously a really that obviously is what helped me improve. But in terms of obviously going improving neurology, I'd go down the th I personally would go down the therapy route rather than the medication route. But yeah, I mean, if but yeah, I mean, your best bet really, find your passion, find focus on your special interests, and join things related to it. Meet people with similar interests. I mean, it all very much helps.
That makes a lot of sense. I can see some very useful bits there. I do like your analogy there with medication, that some people find it useful as a plaster. It kind of helps stops the bleeding, but it doesn't address the underlying cause, so
Yeah, well,
don't
that's
rely on
basically.
it. But in some cases, it can be helpful to
Yeah, I mean,
at
it's only
least
from my
manage the
opinion.
symptoms while you address the cause.
Yeah, I mean, the way in which we know that is because obviously I came across loads of people in South Africa who were autistic, and also I even came across some in England as well. People on the spectrum, or people with ADHD or various learning difficulties that have decided to take medication instead of the root problem. Whilst I know that therapies generally, it's hard work. It does take a lot. It is a long process, and it's expensive. It is difficult, but if it changes your neurology for the better and can turn someone who, like the Family Hope Centre example, for example, that's a big one, that people who literally are physically disabled, like they're got really bad cerebral palsy, or they're completely blind, and it turns them into someone that can actually completely function like me and you now. I mean, yes, it doesn't happen overnight. It can take years,
Sure.
It's expensive, and you know it's a really hard process. But if it changes you for the better, it's definitely worth it.
Absolutely.
Whereas the medication is obviously a lot quicker and a lot easier. But what I was getting to, because I've come across people in South Africa and England who have tried to go down the medication route, and it's actually had the complete opposite effect. Added to which, as well, my parents at one stage in my life, when I was at this school where the bullying was horrendous, literally I was completely excluded. I was at my absolute worst at this one particular school in South Africa, and as a result, my parents tried putting me on antidepressants, and literally everything it only made it worse. I was very nauseous. I was literally crying 24/7. I was not sleeping at all. It was only making me worse. So that literally lasted about 2 weeks before they decided to take me off it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like I said, this is all from my perspective. I'm sure there are people out there who have taken medication. It's actually worked. But if people came to me for my advice, I'd say go down the therapy route rather than the medication route.
Gotcha. I think that's an important thing that you've mentioned a few times throughout chat today, is that everybody is different. So it's about finding what works for you as an individual. And if something works for somebody else but doesn't work for you, doesn't mean there's anything wrong. It just means that approach isn't the right approach for you. But there is one out there somewhere. Got it. You mentioned try and get a diagnosis early. How would one go about getting a diagnosis, either for themselves or for their child?
Well, firstly, I mean, if you're at the end of the day, the parents would know an autistic child more than anyone else would. Mm-hmm. You know, my parents knew I was on the spectrum from the very beginning, but like I said, I grew up in South Africa, and South Africa is very behind in terms of its knowledge on autism. So because they're nowhere near as knowledgeable there as they are here. And also I don't think Asperger's is anywhere near as common there as it is here, or definitely people don't know about it as much there. So that's why I wasn't able to get my diagnosis in South Africa. Whereas if I'd been here, I probably would have been able to get it a lot earlier. So obviously you've definitely got a head start considering, living in England. But go to various different psychologists and that sort of thing. Try and get as many people to, get them checked as possible. The sooner you can get the diagnosis, the better. But I mean, the reason it was different for me is because I wasn't here. I was in South Africa. Whereas if I'd been here, I probably would have got it much earlier.
Got it. And that would have made a big difference for your life.
A massive difference, yeah.
Okay. Thanks for sharing that. Some useful tips in there, and certainly some food for thought. Just rounding off again with the magic, you've mentioned that it started off as a passion and a way for you to focus, and helped you develop friends and built your social side and your self-confidence and so on. And now you've built a business, and you've got some impressive credentials there already at a young age. Where do you see your magic business going, and where would you like to take it? What would be your big dream with it?
My dreams at the moment, I mean, I definitely want to write my own show and, tour it around the world, maybe join another tour group, but basically going on tour all around the world, in different parts of the world on stage. And that's definitely something I definitely want to do at some point. And also, perform magic shows on cruise ships. That's something I'm very interested in. Run big magic classes for people, which is currently something that I'm all but there now at the moment. But running magic classes for loads of people as well is something I'm very interested in. In terms of weaving my magic and autism work together, that's obviously something that I'm interested in as well. But in terms of my magic career, my big goal is obviously touring around the world and performing shows on cruise ships, that sort of thing.
Wow. Nice. That yeah.
Yeah, maybe having my own TV show as well is something I'd love to do at some point.
Got it. And I have no doubt with your dedication and determination, I have no doubt that you will crack all of those. I'm looking forward to seeing that in the years to come. That'll be awesome.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, cool. Well, Angus, it's been it's been fascinating having this chat with you. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your day for us to have this chat. For people who want to find out more, because there will be people who want to find out a lot more about you and about your work and about your magic, what's the best way for them to find out more and maybe even get in touch?
Yeah, the best way to find out more about me is through my website, www.angusbasketball.com. And on all other social medias, on Facebook, Angus Basketball Magic, Instagram, Angus B Magician 1, Twitter, Angus Basketball 1, and LinkedIn, just Angus Basketball. Generally, if you type in Angus Basketball on any social media, you'll find me. But the best way is my through my website.
Yeah, best way, through the website, www.angusbaskerville.com. And as you say, Angus, you are all over the socials, you're really active on all the socials. I'll pop links to all of those in the show notes. As always, you can find them at keithblakemonoble.com/show. Look for the one with Angus Baskerville. You'll find links to all of his socials and more. Or just go straight to Angus's website, www.angusbaskerville.com. Angus, thank you so much. That's I've loved this. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have.
Yeah, thank you very much as well.
Thank you. I know our listeners and viewers will have got a lot out of this. Do check out Angus. You'll find some clips of some of his routines there. He is certainly one to watch for sure. Remember, if you like the episode, do give us a like, subscribe, a comment, a share. Give us a review and a rating. It all helps to spread the word. Check out Angus at his website, www.angusbaskerville.com. And we will catch you in another episode very soon. And until then, I'm going to leave you with Angus's favorite quote. It's a beautiful quote. There is a light at the end of every tunnel.
You've been listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. To find out more, please visit keithblakemorenoble.com.